If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome to the Chef Salty Pork Podcast. With your host Casey and Sean. We're your weekly home for culinary news.
I like my sugar with coffee and green.
Tech musings and everything in between. I forgot that one's a short one, Sean.
You can also catch us recording and streaming on YouTube at Chef Salty Pork Podcast. Please like, comment, and subscribe to get up-to-date notifications of when we are broadcasting live.
You got to get the applause in there, Sean. Some good things coming up today, Sean. Rather, I don't know how to start this.
Hey, man. Let's start with the good news first, man.
good news first. Your homie is now manager status official. Thank you. Thank you so much. I feel proud. Nothing against Chef, but they wanted to go a different direction. So now we've taken it upon us. When I say us, there's two of us. There's Nikki and myself. So I'm technically the exec sous. He's the exec chef. But we both have pretty much the same title. We're going to run the show from henceforth. We started our menu, some of it last week. And I don't think I sent you the picture, Sean.
No, man. I was over here so waiting with bated breath.
I know. I keep forgetting. So I'm going to send you this one. I'm going to send you this one picture because I think you'll get a crack out of it. Mm-hmm. So incoming right now. So one of our former recipes in our prior restaurant, I just upgraded it up. And that is our crab cake
that looks
recipe.
Fire.
Right?
It looks familiar, bro. But it looks pretty damn good.
Yeah. So same crab cake recipe. We won't tell Roger that. That's okay. Not a big deal. But a daikon puree, that white stuff. We're trying to get black plate, Sean, so it pops even more.
Sure.
A little bit of mixed greens. The Arcadian mix, actually. That way it has a frisée in it. A little bit of house dressing. And then our version, it's like we call it muscave. Does that make sense? Like a mustard agave sauce.
Right,
and it's like it has texture. It's a honey mustard, but just
yeah. I mean, hey, but look, man,
we like different things.
You gotta take what people know and love and elevate it. You know, meet your clientele. You know, in a comfortable place for their wallets.
And then that little powder that you see there is actually shrimp powder. So we took the entrails of our shrimp, the scales.
Okay.
After we make the stock, we take that, dehydrate it, pulverize it, and gives it the extra oomph that you're not expecting. You're like, oh, what is that? Oh, your shrimp powder. So if you are allergic to seafood, you're screwed.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, you can definitely mark that on that menu. But yeah, if you're if you got common seafood allergies, you're probably not ordering a crab cake. But yeah. Can you tell the folks how you're dehydrating the shells?
So to dehydrate the shells, there's two methods. We actually have a dehydrator, Sean. We're fancy, bro. We have a dehydrator at a restaurant. It's a 2.5 feet by 3 feet by 2 feet box. Mm-hmm. That just plugs in, and it has a 12-hour setting or a 24-hour setting. So whatever you put in there, it will optimize whatever airflow. It will just dehydrate whatever items you're in. But if you want to do it without that, just stick it into a 150-degree oven, if your oven can do that, on a low fan setting for like 5 or 6 hours if you can. But the dehydrator, obviously, you don't have to monitor it. It'll just do its thing. 12 hours later, you're done. But if you can do that with your oven, absolutely. So that's how you would mimic the dehydrator. So yeah, man, we're doing something. So a lot of that style, a lot of the newer school, because we want people to come in for a different experience. Like I mentioned this.
Sure.
Like last week, right? Yeah, you don't want to just make what the next door neighbor is making down the block. That's not enough. I don't think that's enough to get people.
Mustard over there.
They don't have a muscave emotion.
They don't have
exactly.
Muscave.
Yeah. So it's things like that. So we're moving into that direction. I'll show you some more pictures because we are rolling some new items this week specifically.
Nice.
So Nikki was there today to prep most of the stuff. I'm off today. And then my second part to that really quick, Sean, your homie is now vaccinated.
Hey, let's go, man.
If you haven't already, if you were in the state of New Jersey, April 1st, they released quite a slew of new eligibility for a lot of things, but more specifically for healthcare, for restaurant workers also. But I had Caitlin help me out on that end altogether. So I got my first shot today. My arm feels a little heavy. I don't feel anything else. Other than that, my arm feels heavy. And I got the Moderna version. I know you were going to ask maybe somehow. I wanted the Johnson one. They don't have it just yet. So just the two things for now. But I go back again in about a month.
Awesome.
So May 6th.
Awesome.
Yeah. So hopefully I don't die. That's all I can say.
Yeah, man. At the very least. we hope for that.
Oh, but how are you doing, Sean? I know I haven't seen you in a week.
Yeah, you haven't seen me in 2 weeks, but you actually saw me. Yeah, you know, in person.
Yeah, so we had your wife do the due diligence, and so it was Sean's birthday a couple weeks ago,
yeah.
Right? And your wife reached out to me. I didn't realize she reached out via LinkedIn. That's how she got my phone number.
That's her social media platform of choice.
Yeah, I was like,
everything
is
through LinkedIn.
Yeah,
because you know, hustlers and
that's different. Yeah. I forgot I had it in there. Now I understand why people would call me, inquiring about work. I don't know how they get the phone number. That's probably why.
Yeah.
So she messaged me. She's like, "Hey, Sean's wife. We're trying to do a surprise party a couple weeks. Would you be interested?" I'm like, I'm there. Let me know when and where. We planned it. So we got to a Korean barbecue here, Jersey side. And Sean was, I was talking to Kaylin, right? We pull into the spot. And I'm like, "Babe, he's going to see the car." She's like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "Babe, I have a Subaru." She goes, "Yeah. Everybody else has a Subaru." I was like, "No, I don't think you understand, babe. I'm the only one in our circle of friends that has a Subaru that he knows of." He would spot this in a second. Yeah. So you pull up. She's like, "Oh, I think that's Sean. I can see the hat." I was like, "I told you, he saw it." And then lo and behold, there you guys are. So yeah, it was a happy little thing, man. It was great.
Yeah, man. It was a very good time, man. I can't say it again. I know I said it in person, but there are very, very few people that I would have wanted my first real outing post COVID to be with. And dude, you were at the tippity top of that list. It was very, very thankful for her to put everything together, and very excited to see you and Caitlin in the flesh, man. And
I know you guys are like second family, so I was just like, "Oh my god!"
Shout out to V for almost keeping a secret. She kind of blew it earlier that morning. Like I was running around doing some errands in the house, and she was like, "Oh yeah, well, you know, I'll see Casey and Caitlin later." And I was like, "Wait, what?" But like, as I'm moving around, so I didn't put two and two together until, you know, we were already in Jersey doing some other errands, and instead of making the turn east back toward New York, we were headed north, you know, up toward where you guys are, you know, at. And I was like, "Oh, okay, something's happening.
Something's
happening." But yeah, it was very, very good to see you guys. Very, very good to see you guys.
It definitely was. So we had Korean barbecue. It was an awesome experience. Haven't been there in a long while.
Yeah.
So it was just interesting how they kind of set that up. Because it's an all-you-can-eat kind of thing, right? So you didn't know. I didn't know how they would set it up, et cetera. But it was still good. It was delicious. So shout out to your wife. I appreciate you, wife. So I was sharing with you as she was texting us. She's like, "Hey, 10 minutes away. Don't text back." I was just like,
"What?" Yeah, because it was one of the few times where, like, you know, obviously, usually I'm driving when we're moving around out there. But she was driving, so she had her phone up on the dashboard, you know, for GPS purposes. So yeah. If any texts had come in, I probably would have seen them.
Got it. Is it the when you get a text, does it speak back to you? Is that the type of dash you guys have?
We do, but it's not like her. Like her phone isn't set that way. But it would have definitely like interrupted the music that was playing or the podcast that was playing or whatever it was while we were driving around.
Yeah, mine does the whole blimp. Sean texted you, or I have V as Sean's wife. V, Sean's wife texted you. Blah blah blah. Don't text back. I was like, okay. That's random. Oh, man. Your wife is hilarious. Yeah, man. Yeah, other than that, though, nothing too crazy, Sean. Yeah, it was, what is today? Hold on. Can I just, today is 4/8, so April 8th, right? The only thing happening is tax day.
yeah. You know, Yeah.
That's the 15th. So that's next week. If you haven't already, please go ahead and file that.
Handle that.
Yeah, it's an important kind of day. Lots of things. So, Sean, I never had to input so many companies, because like I told you, I was kind of like jumping.
Yeah, you were hopping
around quite a bit, right? So it was a total of five. It was like five companies back and forth, pretty much. And I was just like, oh, that's a lot to track, man. Good thing they make it easier when you're kind of...
Yeah. I mean, you know... You know, put the stuff unless through. You are working in some pretty specific ways, I mean, it's pretty easy to just kind of move down your W-2 and put the information where it needs to go.
Yeah. So it wasn't too hard, but still, I was like, oh, can you just imagine if somebody... I could picture myself into their shoes if they were only doing that as their profession, pretty much. Like, that's all they do is taxes. Like, people come to them to do multiple, like, amounts of revenues coming in. Like, if you can think, I was thinking about, like streamers, right? Their only income is streaming. Right. How would they do all about, like, the write-ups? Like, do they literally specifically have to save every receipt?
I would assume, I mean, like,
how does that get tracked? You know, like, it's a lot of, it makes my brain move, and I like it, so...
Yeah, I would assume so. I mean, I'm sure you're getting all sorts of, you know, invoices, you know, relative to every promotion that, you know, you might be getting paid to produce, as well as, you know, some sort of like stipend for income coming from your main partners. Might be a lot to keep track of. But
yeah,
I mean, I guess that is offset by the flexibility that type of work could provide, right? You know?
It's true. That is very true. Sean, should we move? Before we do talk about it, so we're talking today about streaming services and what we've been watching kind of the past year. There's a lot that was kind of released into the world via media, because we couldn't go out. Two, everybody was kind of, you know, house ridden, and what one other form of thing to do in the house but just stream socials and
internet.
Just, you know, mess up your bandwidth altogether. But before we do go into that, Sean, do we want to do some Tech Tuesday real quick? Or
some
a little bit of tech if we have it.
Yeah.
All right, just give me 1 second here. Let me see if I can find it. Here we go. Such a yummy intro. I love that thing.
Tech Tuesday on a Thursday.
It'll just be just tech. Just whatever.
Tech Thursday. At this point, just Tech Thursday. All right. So this week, I want to talk about a particular piece of software that Intel will potentially be rolling out either later this year or next year, and to kind of put it in context, I'll talk about something that I experienced earlier this week. So if you've been listening to this podcast, or if you just know me, you know for sure that Overwatch has been one of my favorite games to play
over one of the best games ever.
5 years. Normally, I played on my PlayStation with the controller. I've been interested in learning how to play it on the PC. So, you know, I downloaded a copy of it on that platform. And while the game itself is pretty similar, playing with the mouse and keyboard allows a bit of flexibility and dexterity that you just can't get with a controller. Correct. And honestly, in translation, my skills with the controller did not 100% line up to, you know, the speed of the gameplay on the PC. So, you know, the Overwatch as a game is a collaborative one where you're kind of playing on teams of six against each other. So if you are not holding your weight, you can really pull down the performance of the team. So I wasn't holding my weight. It wasn't a good showing for what I think I normally could contribute to a squad. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, my teammates were not happy with me, and yikes, the stuff that was coming through the mic was not so great. And it wasn't fun stuff. But Intel is going to be rolling out a piece of software called Bleep that will filter out toxic slurs in voice chats as you
what?
Can. Yes. Yes.
Intel
yes.
software Bleep.
It's called Bleep. It's called Bleep. It's in beta right now. You know, they've been putting out some sort of screenshots of some of the menus there. Mm-hmm. And let me kind of run down some of the stuff that you can filter out. So it'll filter out in real time ableism and body shaming. Aggression. LGBTQ hate. It can filter out name calling. Dude, it has a toggle for the N-word.
Wow.
Yeah, which is wild in itself. I mean, racism and xenophobia, sexually explicit language, swearing, white nationalism is something that you, through software, can decide
bleep out. Yeah.
Whether or not you want to experience while playing a game. And it's very interesting. The software, unfortunately, is necessary. It'll be interesting to see if other... so far, it only is going to work on Intel processors, so it's going to be on PCs mainly.
Yeah,
but, PCs. You know, it'll be interesting to see in the future if other game platform makers kind of implement similar things. I know that when it comes to text chat, some companies put in filtering, you know, for specific... you know, words and, you know, specific text, but, you know, being able to crib or curb that language in real time is a significant endeavor. And unfortunately, it's something that is, you know, necessary for people to enjoy themselves in space.
Yeah.
What I think is interesting most about it is that, you know, despite a lot of efforts for companies to kind of provide safe spaces for all sorts of different people to play, you know, without discrimination or harassment, unfortunately, you know, it's gotten to the point where they're just like, look, we got to let the computer, we literally got to let the bots handle it.
Yeah.
We can't stop the people from being, you know, racist or ableist or, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah. It's just crazy. Lot to keep track of. Like, imagine if you're streaming to, like, I don't, even just 10 people, and all of them are literally just every like 3 seconds pumping out just hate. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, and you yourself trying to like single out, block or whatever, and then they just keep going. You know, it becomes a lot. Can you imagine somebody with thousands of people watching in the chat? Yeah. Like, it becomes, I mean, you're going to need something.
It's interesting, right? You know, like back in the days, I want to say back in the day, but, you know, when live television goes out or, you know, live broadcast audio goes out, you know, some companies have someone on literally on a dump button, you know,
yeah,
trying to catch verbal flubs and things that might be in FCC violations in quasi real time. I mean, usually the audio will be on a delay of a few seconds or a minute, so that someone is like, "All right, caught that, it's the air." And you know, this software is looking to do that for gaming. Again, it's sad that the hobby that I like is full of people that would rather be harsh with their language than find other ways to express themselves. But it's interesting to see Intel is, someone who has a stake in the space trying to do their part to kind of clean things up or sanitize things.
I'm all for it because some of the language now is just a little too much. Because when we were growing up, trash talking was inventive. It was creative. Not necessarily too personal, but you would make fun of it on the spot, like pretty much like what we were wearing or something, right? Or some kind of word.
Yeah, I mean, it's different when
the person different thing altogether.
Trash you is right there next to you, right? Like
correct.
I mean, some of the stuff happens because the other people you're playing with are not people you can see or can touch you, or separated by all sorts of distance, time and space distances. But again, it's crazy to see a menu in 2021 that just says N-word on or off. It's wild, but it's necessary. Again, I'm sorry I wasn't holding my own in that Overwatch game the other day, but geez, it's not that serious, man. It just really isn't.
This is a video game, but
I know for a lot of people, they may choose to game in silence, but without that sort of feedback from their other players, because they just don't want to hear it, But hopefully this will provide them an opportunity to enjoy the games on a deeper level without having to hear all the nonsense, man.
Yeah, without getting harassed, bro. It's like, it's encumbersome, like really a lot to hear on your skull when you're like, blah blah blah, bleep bleep bleep, and you're die. People should learn how to.
I am so curious about how this is gonna sound. Is it gonna make like in-game audio sound like the clean version of a rap album from the 90s?
No, I think it's gonna, it's the auto mute. Just little, not like a bleep, but it'll just, it's like a quick cancel of the sound bite altogether. Because, there's software right now that can do it. Like, you can enable it, but this is specific, literally, to toggle and enable that during, whatever. It's like an in-house program that already be defaulted. So, let's do it. I'm for it.
Maybe
let's
in get the future these. It'll be like the profanity editing on like the TBS broadcast of an R-rated movie.
We'll replace words with something synonymous but positive.
Motherforker.
What's that, Mom? Oh, just don't worry about it. It's fine.
Don't even worry about it.
Not a big deal.
All right. And then for my last Tech Tuesday story, I actually have a question for you.
Oh, I'm ready.
So Elon Musk happens to own a company called Neuralink. And in a Twitter post from this weekend, one of the top execs over at Neuralink says offhand, we could probably build Jurassic Park if we wanted to. Wouldn't be genetically authentic dinosaurs, but I don't know, maybe 15 years of breeding plus engineering, we'd get super exotic novel species. Casey, seeing the success of Tesla and the issues that Starlink has had and SpaceX has had, are you going to Elon Musk's hypothetical Jurassic Park?
It'd be interesting to taste the dinosaurs. Is that mad? It's like, what kind of protein would that taste like? What kind of fat would be rendered from those?
It's going to taste like chicken. You
know, is that weird? No, it's like it tastes like fucking chicken, Sean. It's
going to taste like something. Chickens are little dinosaurs.
Have you had an alligator? You've been to the bayou, right? You've been to Louisiana. Have you had their comforters like made of the alligator?
I have.
How do you feel about them? How do you think they tasted?
It was right. A little tougher.
Don't say chicken. I'll smack
no,
you.
No, no. I'm not gonna say chicken, but I mean the consistency wasn't too far away.
Got it. It to me, it felt like fatty, sinewy, like beef, but not a beef taste. Like a game, like a specific game, but like sinewy. But I didn't mind it. I was like, okay, cool. That's what an alligator tastes like. I don't mind it. I'd mess with it.
So now you piqued my interest. So you're telling me you're going to Jurassic Park to have like...
Yo, to have a fucking T-Rex meal, bro. Come on now. Yeah. Why
so
not?
Are you going imagine that that's like the braised? Dairy Museum to have a burger.
Yes. Yes. Like a Velociraptor burger.
Okay.
Yes. That sounds ideal.
Yeah. Just I mean, chop it up. Yeah, all a Velociraptor fine. Burger sounds pretty tough. Like you were. Like,
that sounds rad. Like yeah, you're for marketing
one of those,
sakes too.
A T-shirt for the gift shop.
Yeah. A little claw on it, you know.
Yeah, it's just of like course. As a, they definitely have to.
I'd be down. The claw has a spike, you know, to hold the burger intact. Mm. Like instead of like having the knife come through into the plate, just the little claw little instead.
Velociraptor claw.
Yeah, like see, told you right now. Okay. Elon should listen to us. These are prime ideas.
It's hypothetical. It's hypothetical. Sean. But you know for sure. They're just like, we could do this.
I mean, hey, they already put out, was it the roll call for, was it 20,000 people to move to Texas, right? That little strip of Texas for their SpaceX thing. I mean, it's happening. Maybe towards the end of our lifetimes, right? So our offsprings will be able to have that experience by themselves by the time they're 20s. Maybe we'll see it. Or maybe if I live to be 100, I'll get to taste some dinosaurs with some dead, you know, some non...
Maybe that's the protein of the future. Like, we got it all wrong, right? Like, we're chasing impossible burgers and plant protein, but actually we should just be eating dinosaurs.
Okay, you keep talking about plant protein. I still got to send you that fucking impossible burger.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it.
It really does taste good, Sean. I'll tell you. Like, it tastes delicious, especially the sausage, the impossible sausage. Mm-hmm. I got so excited, I couldn't even speak. Doesn't have an aftertaste, but it has a different texture than you would. The burger will taste like a burger, like even the texture, but the sausage is a little different. Okay. It tastes better, but the texture is a little off-putting. Is that I don't know. you just don't worry about it. It's good for you.
So what flavor profile, like, For your impossible sausage, what flavor profile were they going for?
A sweet Italian sausage.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. So the sweet Italians.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You could definitely see the fennels and all the spices in there. It's just I think maybe the process of which they reconstituted the soy proteins. Mm-hmm. It just, because, you know, it's not fat, so it's trying to mimic fat.
Sure.
But it doesn't have that, so it has, like, a different... I don't know how to explain it, Sean.
Was it packaged in casing like a sausage would normally be, or was it, like, ground?
Yeah. In its own plant-based casing, too. Like, it's nuts. It's literally just like a sausage. I'm trying to think right now. It's like tapioca. That's what I meant, like tapioca. Like instead of the fat.
Okay.
So like the same thing that you would taste in the boba, like the boba balls, the boba drink rather. Those little balls, pearls, are tapioca. They're trying to mimic, I'm pretty sure it's like part of it too. Because that's what I taste and feel in my mouth when I eat the sausage. It's a weird thing. That's how I process the taste when I taste something new.
Potential future in which we're sitting at a cafe on Mars dining on Impossible sausage and eating some Stegosaurus eggs.
Yes. Oh my God, that'd be great. Imagine just like a big omelet.
Right. And if you don't, and if, you know, and if the table next to you doesn't happen to like their food, you can tap on your Intel Bluetooth headphones and filter out anything that you're saying right there.
That is all you'll need, like all throughout. But it's such an amazing, it's an amazing time to kind of be, you know, be in this planet, because there's so much things happening, you know. Minus the whole 2020 part with the COVID thing, but
hey man,
just saying, like, technology wise,
vaccines are rolling out, we're bouncing back.
You know, it's kind of, it's a lot of in there. The vaccines are rolling, so hopefully everybody will get vaccinated soon, and we can get to a little bit of normalcy. Hopefully soon, sooner rather than later. But other than that, Sean, let's talk about some shows.
Sure.
So we were talking about some streaming things, but more specifically, I know we both mentioned some Korean dramas, right? But I'm trying to actually look on my Netflix here on what, because I forgot what it, there's that one show I really wanted to tell you about, but I completely forgot the name of it. It's on Netflix. It's that robot show. It's a movie. It has three Koreans in it. The little robot that speaks like 20 languages, and then they were like trying to save this little girl that's actually a bomb.
This sounds amazing.
You know what I'm talking about? Like,
this
is
exactly why I wanted to talk about this, because like I have no idea.
What do you mean you have no idea? Yes, you do, bro.
But I'm going
to
watch it this weekend because that sounds incredibly ridiculous. And also, because
it is incredibly ridiculous. It was like a top thing like 2 weeks ago.
See?
Oh my God, Sean, I cannot.
This is what's so amazing about Netflix too, right? It's like these shows will pop up, they'll become part of the zeitgeist for a week or two, and then because of their, you know, their algorithms, they're just kind of, you can lose them in the sauce, for a better way to say it, right?
That's true.
But sure.
That's it. I cannot remember the name of it.
See if you
Space Sweepers. Here we go. So right
space
here, Sean.
Sweepers.
Yo, check this out right here. This freaking show.
See?
Call me.
Okay.
If you haven't already, sci-fi drama.
I am on it. I am adding it to my queue right now, my guy.
Bro, the special effects is like almost same level of Star Wars. Like they put some sauce in this movie. It's so amazing. So that's the movie I thought about. So the three Koreans, they're kind of like junkers, and then there's the little robot that's also with them that speaks like 20 bajillion languages. That's like their entire crew. They stumble upon this little robot kid that is worth like billions, and they're trying to sell it back, but they fell in love with the kid because the kid is technically part human. So that's like the whole premise. But I won't spoil it for you. But
okay.
Anyway,
all right.
I wanted to get that out of there.
It's already
like
intriguing
lot.
Me, and I am hoping that I enjoy it way more than I enjoyed Kong versus Godzilla on HBO Max. Jesus,
did you see it?
I did happen to see it.
How was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so I watched it the other night. My daughter was using the television to watch some cartoons, so like I took it as an opportunity to kind of check out Dolby Atmos on my phone. So
okay.
I ended up getting an iPhone 12 Max, and it's pretty goddamn similar to the iPhone 8 Plus that I had before. But the things that do stand out, the OLED screen, the amazing cameras, and how they are able to provide a reasonable facsimile of Dolby Atmos surround sound with the four speakers that are on this thing. So,
okay.
Yeah, so I ended up watching Kong vs. Godzilla, and, you know, you can take my opinion with a grain of salt because I did not watch the prequel Godzilla film or the prequel King Kong film, but, you know, familiar with the characters. And, yeah, man. The suspension of disbelief that needed to be had just to tie the tenuous science fiction elements of this thing. It was just amazing. Like,
now
I can't think of is a time.
Is this the first Godzilla movie you've seen?
Have you seen any of the classics? Like, I've seen other Godzilla films, and I feel like I saw a Godzilla film that came out maybe like 6 years ago. Uh-huh. But when it comes to Godzilla films, as I understand it, you know, there are some that are produced by American companies, and then some that are produced, you know, in Japan, and sometimes they like overlap, and sometimes they totally do not. So, you know, I can't remember if the last Godzilla film I watched was a Japanese production, but from what I remember of the story, it did not tie into this movie whatsoever. But nonetheless, you know, King Kong, you get it. Godzilla, you get it. And, you know, they're going to fight, and they do. But, yeah, man, I mean, I can definitely say that I didn't want to turn it off.
Okay.
But I will probably never watch it again.
See, like, the interesting thing is I remember Godzilla because I saw it in the movies in the Philippines. So I saw the original ones and some the upcoming ones. But more specifically, Sean, this version of it, this is the Godzilla that I know. Look at that face.
Yeah, see, that's the Godzilla that I grew up with. Shout out to my Aunt Linda, who used to, you know, rent the Godzilla films for my cousins and I, when she rolled over to the video store. But yeah, you know, when they were using big rubber suits and, you know, stop motion and, you know, appropriately scaled sets to kind of, you know, show the relative damage of having these titans and, you know, and other creatures just mucking about and, for a better lack of saying it, fucking shit up. yeah, I mean, it was cool. It was cool. And yeah, seeing this movie that was again released to HBO Max and in theaters, I was amazed at the scale and spectacle of the CG, but and the cast that they had to kind of tie around it, but the threads that were holding the story together were very, very loose. Wow, man.
It was like, because it looked like Pacific Rim to me, and I didn't like Pacific Rim.
I mean, yes, there you go. And again, I wonder if it's just a case of, you know, having to exist in the same space as, you know, as an American production. Like, I'm curious if some of the same techniques that were used to produce those other Godzilla films were applied to, you know, this film, how things would have turned out differently. But maybe. Yeah, man, it was a fun kind of stupid. But I probably
will
never watch it again.
Kind of stupid. I don't know. There's like I said, I've been watching a lot of TV. So Caitlin usually presides on the Hulu space. So my wife loves all the, you know, the Grey's Anatomy. I do so myself. Like all the TV stuff you can find on Hulu, and we have that batched out. Literally, we'll watch it all together. There's some also great, you know, movies and TV shows that's on there, specifically only on Hulu that you can't watch anywhere, so you have to have it. I've seen those, but the biggest ones for me last year going into this year was Korean dramas. I don't know why, Sean. I just like, you know what, let's watch something new, because I'm tired of all the other stuff. Like it's all kind of the same, right? And then the first, can you guess the first Korean drama that I watched? Probably the same. Probably the first one that you saw, also.
Well, man, this has been so many. Because I used to watch Korean dramas a few years back, and then I kind of fell—I don't say fell out of favor, but I guess they didn't find me. So, I mean, the one that I was wrapped up in was it was called Itaewon Class.
Itaewon Class, yeah.
Yes.
Yo, this show has all the feels. It has all the, it's so good.
Yeah, man.
I don't know if that's it. It's only 16 episodes, right? Pretty much, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just the way they build, I don't know how to explain, like how they made the story from bottom all the way like to the end of it, like completely out of, but my only gripe, Sean, out of the 10 Korean dramas that I've seen, right? a Taiwan class was the only one, if you notice this, I don't know how many Korean dramas you had, a Taiwan class is the only drama that I saw, when they kissed, like they actually smacked lips. Right,
yeah,
they meant it.
I would say, yeah, for sure. But I wonder if that was a case of it being a relatively new production.
You know what? Yeah, that's true.
Because all, the,
other, all
like,
the other K dramas, they don't.
Yeah, usually,
bro, they're like this.
Full of kisses, right? Yeah,
they're get like, close, they're just like you, they get G, bro.
You know, use some sort of other environmental thing to kind of signify passion, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, but you get the feeling in, the music swells, it gets into this little heartbeat of a thing, you feel it, and they're about to make the eye contact, you're like, oh yes, it's gonna happen, here's a crescendo, and then both homies are like, just like, like, you know, side kiss, you know, like, no feelings, no emotions, it just, it kills it for you, but I'm happy that I saw a Taiwan class first. Because that set the bar for me. I was like, whoa, yo, this right here. Right here. That's how everything should be.
So we'll give a quick synopsis for Itaewon Class. So for the most part, this is a revenge story about a young man who loses his father in a car accident. And, you know, because of bureaucracy, you know, in... the chaebol world of Korea. So that's like the families that kind of establish and maintain like the largest companies in Korean business. You know, they're gonna, just like in, you know, the United States, like large corporations obviously have some significant sway when it comes to politics as well as, unfortunately, legal matters. And this young man is sent to prison, and he endeavors to make his way through prison, you know, pay his debt to society, and build a business that's going to rival the family business that sent him to prison and, you know, unfortunately killed his father. And yeah, man, this is 16 episodes, and it goes a lot of different places.
Yeah, quite a bit.
And yeah, man, I was in from the beginning and there all the way through the end, man. It was a good time. And I think, obviously, having made my way through that, you know, the Netflix algorithm started recommending a lot of other similar fare.
My Taiwan class is such, oh man, if anyone hasn't gotten to the Korean dramas just yet on Netflix, definitely a good first watch in Taiwan class. However, a close second though, Sean, I have this on my page right here. Okay. Crash Landing on You. Have you seen Crash Landing on You?
No, I have not. See, bro, man, this is exactly why I'm adding another, it to the queue, my guy.
Another classic, I think. Almost perfect storyline. So, as you know, North and South Korea are separated by borders, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the leading lady on this show, to begin, she started from North Korea. She did like a backpack, like where you like paraglide for a little bit.
Okay.
And then she got stuck on the south side, and that's how it started. They're like, oh, this lady got stuck there. That's Crash Landing on You. And she meets this guy that's on the screen right now, and he's an officer.
She's not a defector. She's not trying to leave.
She's not. And then she meets the other lead guy, and they fell in love, blah, blah. I won't spoil it for you. But that's the main gist of it. Without having to tell you much, bro, there's so much story in this, I was going to say anime, but in this Korean drama.
Right, but I'm
it just feels so good. It felt so good when they finally, like, it was like a perfect ramp up. But then again, like I said, it's Taiwan class, right? Full on passionate kiss. But when these two, I'm going to just leave it like that. All right. There's a few more that I've watched that I can show you. But this one I'm on right now is called Startup. I think you would like this, Sean. I don't know if you've seen this just yet, Startup.
It's been recommended to me, but I haven't checked it
out. Mm-hmm. So it's more literally what we talk about during our Tech Tuesdays. It's a guy that had an idea, and he codes, and he manages to become like a little mini startup, hence the name. And he meets a girl that's also as passionate. And then the story, like, bro, hints and twists right now. I'm on episode 10. But another, that one's as passionate as the Taiwan class is. So I truly appreciate that as of yet. But one other that I want to talk about, though, I know okay. I'm kind of rambling here.
Nah, man,
but
go
there's
for it.
This one. Okay, how do you feel about zombie TV shows?
I'm with
like, did you watch The Walking Dead?
The Watching Dead. I haven't finished The Watching Dead. I haven't watched the spinoff show. But mm-hmm. yeah, man, I'm for it. I'm for it generally.
Bro, so this next show right here, Kingdom. Korean drama, all about the zombies, but just their take on it.
Like, and it's a period piece, okay.
Yeah, it's a period piece. So like we're talking like samurai era, literally infection. And the way it start was somebody died in the woods, and they couldn't find food, whatever this village was. The village doctor took it back home and cooked it. And then fed the villagers. They're like, oh my God, we finally got meat after like 6 months. We're so blessed. We feel good. Literally everybody died except for the one dude that didn't eat it. And at night, everybody turned and they're like, oh, I was like, oh, this is where we go. And I was watching this at like 8 o'clock at night. Caitlin's like, what the fuck is that noise? Cause all you hear is like, it's like, ew, that's disgusting. Yeah. I'm like, babe, it's just zombies. Just like, eh. But yo, it gets real. Like just the graphic nature of it sent me. I was just like, yes, I'm gonna watch this when Caitlin's not home, because she gets like a little too much on the audio side, because it does sound disgusting. Like they're literally feasting on it, and you see people get like decapitated. Like it's straight up gruesome, and I love it. I'm all for it. But that's another one that you should watch. So those are my top three picks to start with.
Sure.
That will whet your appetite. There's so much more. There's just so much.
This is a documentary or docu-series that like my wife and I watched over the last couple of weeks. Okay. It's on Netflix. It's called Last Chance U, but it's specifically the basketball season. So from what I understand, like they've done this series focusing on football, but this one is focusing on the story of a basketball team in a Division III basketball team in Eastern Los Angeles, and pretty much it follows this team from, let's say, August of 2019, the beginning of the season, kind of right up until COVID kind of grips, you know, the world and the country in March of 2020. And it's amazing. It's gripping. I mean,
it's college ball, right?
Yeah, it's college basketball. But, you know, unlike the heroics and the legacy that comes with some of like the more more popular and well-known schools, this team and this basketball program is kind of comprised of you know, some athletes that have come from all sorts of different circumstances, and for whatever reason, you know, these guys, while they are talented enough to be playing at some of the bigger schools, you know, issues in their life or, you know, opportunities in their life have kind of like led them to be playing here. And, you know, unlike other schools, like these guys are all, you know, coming to this team to, you know, build some success for themselves or work on their academics so that they can transfer out to larger schools and, you know, either continue their education or, you know, potentially build upon their basketball resume to kind of see where it's going to take them. And
it's going to add that to the list right now.
Yeah, it's gripping. I mean, it resonates with me. You know, obviously I love basketball. The head coach of their program definitely reminds me of some of the coaches I had when I was coming up, you know. But I think if you are giving it one, if you make it through one episode, you will see it through the rest. And I would definitely say that while you might be able to appreciate it a little bit more if you know about the nuances of basketball, it's not even really about that at all, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's about 12 or 15, you know, young men and the coaching staff, all at kind of the nexus of their lives and trying to make the most of the situation that's afforded to them. And, you know, I definitely wouldn't want to spoil where it goes, but, you know, I definitely feel that it kind of stands as, you know, a document of a lot of what, you know, the country was going through, you know, by the time, you know, the series, or rather this particular part of the series wraps up. It was amazing. It was amazing. And, you know, I could definitely say that, you know, sometimes it's hard to get V to watch like basketball stuff with me. Like, she'll pay attention during like the playoffs, yeah, but she was like gripped. Like, we were glued to the couch.
Yeah, there's through. A story, bro. Like,
yeah, because it was just, yeah, again, man. And it's real. Like, you know, it's not put on. These are, you know, young men and, you know, the coaching staff, you know, all fighting for, you know, the opportunity to better themselves. And, you know, I don't see how anyone could really like watch that and not be entertained, enthralled, and, you know, walk away empowered to kind of do what they got to do.
Yeah,
that one was really, really, really good.
It was pretty sick. Did you also see the Jordan one?
So yeah, The Last Dance we watched last year when it originally aired on ESPN. And look, man, you know, during the pandemic, obviously there was a significant pause on, you know, produced television because, you know, people couldn't get together to make the stuff. But that documentary series was almost completed, you know, by the time the pandemic started. And, you know, having appointment TV was super duper important, you know, for us in this household.
Yeah. And,
you know, growing up as a Michael Jordan fan, you know, it was interesting to see the documentary on his last season with the Chicago Bulls. So that one, again, is another one I would, if you haven't watched it already, definitely watch that one.
Definitely a watch. Definitely a watch.
For sure.
What else we got here? I got the other one that I just finished was Bridgerton. So I know I've texted to you this one a few times. Mm-hmm. But man, what a compelling story. This one is another, it's like going to be like another classic, another period piece.
For sure.
Kind of Romeo and Juliet-esque in their kind of endeavor. But man, I'm such a sucker for really good stories specifically. Have you also seen Peaky Blinders?
I haven't, but again, like, that is another thing that's on the queue.
Yo, you know, when you get to it, let me know. It is such a compelling one. Like, that's like all my top five shows of all time. It's just so beautifully shot. All the characters are phenomenal. I want to learn that style of filmmaking eventually, you know, just from afar. I'm just so gripped by it. I'm like, fuck, how are they capturing this crazy performance from these people? And, you know, it's not just actor and director. It's like, it has to be both, you know? You can't put a good actor in a bad scene and have it be good. Sure. It has to be both good. But man, when you get to it, I'm telling you, when you get to it, phenomenal show altogether. And then out of all the other ones that I rewatched again, on Netflix, Sean, our favorite, The Great British Baking Off. I'm telling you right now, if you want a tearjerker, no matter what season you want, I think it's like up to, let's say, was it 14 seasons, right, or something? Mm-hmm. 10 seasons. And look, we watched all of it. It's such a feel-good story, and it makes you want to bake. Like, I was just like, oh, fuck. they didn't do that quite right. Paul Holloway was gonna get mad at them, you know, or Mary Berry, one of the other judges. She's like, nah, this tart isn't all so well. Like, I feel it. Like, I was like, oh, these amateur bakers trying to be pro. One day, hopefully, if they do finally, if they want to, it's a hard endeavor. I just fell for it. I was like, yes, that was me 15 years ago as a former cook. Now, granted, it's not baking, because baking is right. A different science altogether. But it's just like, it's captured in this show, and it's so good, Sean. I'm telling you right now. I think that's another one that you definitely should watch. With your wife. V's gonna be like, yo, what the fuck? Like, they should be, who won what? It gets real. It gets real, hey, real man, quick.
If you're combining, you know, amazing food and in a game show competition premise, lock us up. We're all locked in for that one.
There's quite a bit of that. I mean, even the, have you seen any of the chef's meal stuff?
Yes.
Like, I know we call ours chef's meal, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. phenomenal altogether, all of it. And I've been watching those quite a bit, but other than those, primarily, and then we rewatched the whole entirety of New Girl.
Okay. Yeah, man. New Girl is a modern classic.
New Girl is a classic.
Is a modern classic. And I feel like classic. it's definitely underrated. And for me personally, it exists in the same space that Friends, that does the same reference that people have for Friends. Like, that Friends was not my show. Like, I definitely have seen it, you know, through its entirety, because it was
it was on TV literally every day. It was during the 90s, literally.
It was on Netflix. I've seen it, but New Girl was my jam. The last show that I have for the class here, it's on HBO Max, and it's called The Dale. And
I think I've heard of it.
This one's gonna be, I don't say it's hard to talk about without spoiling the major premise, but based on a true story, The Dale follows the life and times of one of America's greatest con men. I mean, literally pulling cons from just after World War II up until their demise in the early aughts here. But primarily it focuses on the point in their life when they are trying to produce a three-wheeled car and sell it to the American masses.
Right. Wow. I need to watch it.
You know, choose my words carefully as not to spoil much, but this show goes in some amazing places. So yeah, man, if you haven't seen it, I would definitely say check out the trailer. If you're interested, man, you know, top on your HBO Max, you know, get a login from a friend if you don't have one and literally go for a three-wheeled ride. Yeah,
is it as enticing as Narcos?
Narcos
is like, yo,
Narcos, because Narcos is fictional, and you know it's you know the drama is produced, but this one is really interesting because it's true. And again,
it's like, based on a true story.
Yes.
I didn't understand that. Right. Got it.
So you know, again, like, there's a lot more to talk about this show in particular, but I feel like getting into it will kind of like ruin some of the major conceits, you know, about the person and the family that it's focused on. But from episode one through, I feel like there were four or six episodes in its run. But yeah, it was awesome. And, you know, kind of shows, you know, what people are capable of if they can convince someone of something else.
Hey, I am all for it. Lots of different shows, lots of different vices. There's Hulu, there's HBO, there's Disney Plus. Yeah. We didn't even touch on that.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Disney Plus. Yeah, I mean, there's
Amazing Mandalorian,
WandaVision. You you know.
It's just, it's a lot, my homie.
There's a lot of stuff. I mean, I started using Paramount Plus the other day, and the catalog they have there is ridiculous. I mean, it's like everything that was on BET, MTV, CBS, VH1, the Smithsonian, Nickelodeon, like their whole back catalog, as well as like newer content produced for the platform. And then if, depending on the tier that you're paying for, you can actually stream some of your local CBS stuff in real time. So, you know, kind of like looked at a little March Madness there, and, you know, just checked out the news just to see, you know, like the quality versus the cable. But yeah, man, we are not for a lack of options. And I feel like I didn't even mention anything for Hulu myself. But
yeah, no, it's just, yeah, it's
the,
just
the content
a lot.
Is there. Oh yeah, on Hulu, what did we watch? Pen 15.
Pen 15 is amazing on Hulu. Yeah. That is definitely true. Cobra Kai just on. This was
I didn't realize. I remember when Cobra Kai was like it was
on YouTube.
YouTube.
Yeah.
Premium. I didn't realize it.
We switched it over
to Netflix. I gotta check that out as well.
The Witcher. Shout out to Kim's Convenience. Yo, Kim's Convenience, they just canceled the last season.
The next season's the last season, so looking forward to that.
I'm so mad. These are just my watch it again, kind of, right? So Peaky Blinders, Last Kingdom, The Magician's also a good show, but there's quite a slew. Like I mentioned, there's a lot to watch. There's a lot to kind of take your space. Well. Atypical is amazing. As many of the food things that I can watch, I'll watch. But I'd rather watch better, more feely kind of things. Because I see food, you know, at work every day anyway, regardless. But I'd rather see something. I can honestly say that,
you know, when I was in the kitchen, when I was out of the kitchen, like I did not gravitate to food-related content. Like, now I can appreciate it more. I just felt like at the time, I just seemed to, like, separate myself from...
Yeah, it's too much. It becomes too much.
In the headspace.
It definitely is.
Now I can, you know, appreciate the nuances and significantly better.
All right. As we do approach our final remarks, though, I know we didn't do meme review or any kind of all the foods, because technically there's nothing that's going to be happening soon. Mm-hmm. In our line of work specifically. However, I say that May, so we're going to take the whole entire month of April to get ready for the one day, which is Mother's Day. So even in my restaurant, we're literally like, here's the menu for Mother's Day. How many do we have like reserved for now? Mm-hmm. Because it's going to get bananas. Right now, it won't be the same numbers that we do at the restaurant because it's not a full-blown restaurant. It'll be like banquet style. But I think I mentioned this before here on our podcast. In your restaurant, you would do double our sales. We would do stupid sales to begin with. So to do 40 grand on one day and you guys would do almost 50 or 60.
Yeah.
That's stupid. Like that is a stupid amount of sales just for the one day. And if it lands closer to a weekend, right? That whole weekend is smashed. Like it doesn't matter. So It's just a whole thing to begin with, and you kind of need to get into that headspace. How much do I need to order? How much do I staff for that week? How much overtime? If there's overtime allotted, blah blah blah. You don't want to run out. What are the promos? These are the stuff that we think about as chefs to get prepared for this, even a month out. Like that's still cutting it a little close if you haven't gotten all your T's and I's dotted and crossed. So if you are in a restaurant business, get that straight. Like, just focus on that quite hard. That will be your next thing to put your headspace in. Because even if you're just doing to-goes, bro, like Mother's Day, like it's gonna get hectic. Other than that, though, Sean, do we want to give them? You wanna give them with an out? Give them like a quick sentence and then just take us on out.
Oh yeah. So, like Chef Casey was saying, you know, the world is slowly opening up, and Mother's Day is quickly approaching. So, you know, take this opportunity right now to kind of figure out your plans, you know. If you're going to do it inside the home, you know, think about the experience you're trying to produce, you know, gather your resources and, you know, do it right for mama. If you're looking to take her out, hey man, you know, do your due diligence ahead of time and, you know, see how that restaurant or, you know, that excursion is going to be able to provide like a safe space and a great time for you and yours. And like I said, you know, you got a month, so get on it, man. Get on it. Definitely. Know, everyone might not like their daddy, but I'm sure you love your mama. So take care. Take care of her.
Buy them some. Also shout out, I completely forgot. It's my mom's birthday today.
Hey, look at that. Happy birthday, hey, yeah, mom.
My mom's birthday today. I went over, cooked her a meal. She also, the first thing she said, I come in, she's like, you don't text, say happy birthday. I'm like, I showed up in person to cook you a meal.
Look, man, it's not real if it's not in glitter text. So make sure you hit your mama with the glitter text, Bitmoji, everything.
Mm. But I came over, made her meal, we sat down, we spent some time together. Said hi to my old cat. My old cat, poor thing, is no longer meowing. It's growling. It's growling because it's so old. It can't meow anymore. So I was like that kind of a thing. And I'm like, oh, it's okay. You will rest fairly soon. You've been so good. But yeah, I mean, like I mentioned, Mother's Day is our main focus in terms of restaurant. I might do a couple of recipes for next week on what we're doing at my restaurant. Let you know what's happening because we're going live with 7 items this weekend. So we're fully on prepping it, setting it out to the masses, getting some feedback. But it's completely like way left field from the old menu altogether. But other than that, get your vaccine. Sean, can you just tell them where they can find our podcast and stuff?
Yeah, of course. So you've been listening to the Chef Salty Cat. Rather, Chef Salty Podcast with Casey and Sean. This podcast can be found on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. You can find video of these episodes streaming and archive on YouTube at Chef Salty Pork. Reach out to us by email at Ask Chef Salty Pork, or rather Ask Chef Jesus, Ask Chef Salty at gmail.com. You can reach me directly on Twitter at MetroCardX and tell me about how I just messed up the email address.
It's a mouthful. Sean is a little hungry, y'all.
Yes.
He hasn't eaten yet.
We're gonna say it one more time. Ask ChefSalty at gmail.com. ChefSalty at gmail.com. One more time. Ask ChefSalty at gmail.com.
I could have made that email a little easier, but you know, I just wanted to be like, question the format.
Wow, I just choked all over it. I'm like, Chef Salty Pod Pork. Ah,
it's okay. Pork. It's a lot of stuff. Other than that, though, ladies and gentlemen, be safe.
Peace out, internet. Oh, my goodness.